If you thought your role was over this morning, you've clearly never been to St. James's before. So Hannah made an interesting observation the other day, which was that we have all our Christmas cards on a big shelf in one of our rooms, and she noticed that this year, cards seem to be full of wise men. Thank you. Hila, I brought some to show you. So here we have three wise men. On a journey, on their camels. No. The action's going to be quite similar for all of you. This one's got the star in it. This one, they've just arrived at the stable. No. I could have just left, could I? Could be here next Christmas doing that. And these ones, just the three wise men. I think we can stop that now. Otherwise, you're going to be here for a long time. So of all the things that you might normally see on a Christmas card, you often see robins, or Christmas trees, or snow, or baby Jesus, or the nativity. It seems to be the wise men that have come out on top this year. So I thought that we would spend a bit of time thinking about the wise men together. And there are two questions that I'd like us to think about. And this is the first one. So, David, what do we actually know about the wise men? It's an interesting question. We hear about them a lot at this time of year. So I reckon have a chat with the people next to you for a couple of minutes and see if you can come up with a comprehensive idea of what we think we actually know about the wise men. And if you want to get your Bible, it's in Matthew 2. I think that's long enough. Do we want to shout out some ideas? What do we know about the wise men, or think we know about the wise men? Oh, maybe we should do this with hands, otherwise you're going to shout at them. So common conception is that there are three. I'm going to stuck three out there. But we don't actually know how many there were. That they were wise. Well, that's cheating. It's in the name, isn't it? No, but actually that is a good point. I make a joke, but we do know that these were intellectual people. They had spent time studying, and they were probably scholars of their time. All right, pink sunglasses. They had money. What makes you say that? They had expensive gifts. So these were probably wealthy intellectual people. Okay, there's not many of those around, is there? Chris? They were from the East, yes, unspecified Eastern place. So, interestingly, we know that, but really that highlights what we don't know, which is where they were from at all, other than east of Bethlehem. Mike? They studied the stars, yes. So they were probably astrologers of sorts as well, tied into their intelligence and study. Anything else? Is that a hand, Stella? Oh, someone might have to yell that even louder for me. Three gifts. Yes, now that's clever. We don't know how many wise men there were, but we do know that there were three gifts, or at least three notable ones anyway, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, here are some other things then that we think we might know, but perhaps don't. So, I found on the internet that apparently their names are traditionally Gaspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. Does that ring a bell? Anyone know where that comes from? Have we just made it up? Probably, okay. That they were kings. We three kings, but it doesn't actually say that at all in the Bible. We just, again, assume that because they got expensive gifts and they were intelligent, that they were wealthy and therefore kings. I have no idea where that comes from. We had that they followed a star. They knew where Jesus was going to be born, so that's a part of them having studied the Bible. And the final one that I got that is a common misconception is that there was one in a taxi, one in a car, and one on a scooter beeping his hooter. I'm glad that song is still well known by people. So I think it's interesting to think about how much we know about the wise men is actually just assumption or guesswork. We're not actually told a huge amount about them. We don't know who they were, where they came from, how old they were, or what their names were. What we do know is that they travelled from another country, they followed a star that had appeared in the sky, and they were trying to find a baby who had been born king of the Jews. And they wanted to find him so that they could worship him. All right, so with that in mind, here is our second question. Why does that matter? Why have we got their story recorded? What can we learn from the wise men? And you might want to think, why have our Christmas cards been full of wise men this year? Is there something about our times at the moment that makes wise men particularly appealing? What does their story capture our imaginations? Why don't you have a chat with your neighbour and say, what can we learn? Nathan enjoyed that, I don't know why. And we'll come back in a couple of minutes. Okay. Would anyone like to share? And I think we'll go a handheld mic for this one.
They followed what God said.
So it's good for us to do the same, yeah? Cool. I like that. Always wary about handing the microphone to your father.
You may have to be prepared to put yourselves out to achieve your goal.
Very good, very wise, wise man. Anyone else? Frank?
They weren't necessarily Jewish.
In fact, they probably weren't. So, like, yeah. What can we learn? That we were not necessarily Jewish. But God welcomes everybody, not just Jews, but Gentiles too, into his family. Fantastic. Anyone else? Hillary, it's always people who are the hardest to get to. At least I'm making room for my Christmas lunch.
We can still bring him our gifts.
Ah, yes, very good. And those gifts can be anything. They can be material, or they can be our love, our talents, all sorts of things. Anything else? I've got two more. We'll go to Jeremy. Oh, I've got three more then.
So they were prepared to go into a dirty stable, although it was unexpected. So we can find Jesus in unexpected places and often not the rich places.
Very good. Nothing to add to that. Judith?
Commitment.
Yeah, I think one of the other things that we think we know is that the nativity scene has everybody in the stable at once, as if it was just really good timing that everyone turned up right at the same time. But the wise men likely turned up a few months after Jesus had been born. The star appeared in the sky to show where Jesus had been born, and then they followed it. And if they travelled for a really long time, then it makes sense that Jesus would have been not a newborn baby, but living somewhere else at this point in Bethlehem. So, yeah, it took a long time to get there. Hannah, you had a hand up?
I think that in a year where there's been lots of division and decisions and kind of opposing ideas, that it's comforting for us to know that there are some things that are just true and good. And that's Jesus. Jesus is true and good, and the wise men recognised it.
Fantastic. So for characters that we don't know a huge amount about, we can actually learn a lot about life and about faith and about Jesus through them. I have just a couple of thoughts to share, and some of these may well be things that you have already said. So yeah, I think that there are some simple things that we can learn from the wise men. For example, our world does seem fairly hectic and crazy at the moment. Our politics, the environment, climate change, issues of justice. There is something about the concept of wise men that is really appealing. We would like more wise people in our world, and we would like to be considered wise ourselves. Perhaps this is something that we can all pray for, like Solomon, to be wise. I think the story of the wise men is also one, what I've called holy conviction. And by that, what I mean is that they knew that this was the right thing to do. They had studied hard. They had done their research. They'd looked into it. They knew the scriptures. They knew where Jesus would be born. And they decided to go and do it because it was the right thing to do. But it wasn't just in their heads that they knew it was the right thing to do. It was in their hearts too. As they got nearer, you get a sense of their excitement. It says in the Bible that when the star stopped over Bethlehem, that they got overjoyed, that they got giddy with excitement as they got closer to where Jesus was born. And we love that feeling at Christmas too. I know often I can forget my sense of giddy excitement at Christmas that perhaps I once had when I was smaller. And I would like to be able to recapture that, and maybe some of you would too. And finally, this picks up on what Jeremy said, which is that there is a gentle and humble reverence when they arrive at where Jesus and Mary are staying. Although these were wealthy, educated, and influential people, they recognized Jesus, the tiny baby, as for who he was, as someone more important than them. And they give him all that they have. They laid their riches at his bedside. And their gift was not only the valuable presents that they brought, but the amount of effort that it took to come and find him, their offering of themselves for him. So I think their story is a powerful one at Christmas. And we understand and relate with them, even if they were very different to us. We understand the effort it takes to make it to the manger. We know the joy of giving gifts to those that we love, and we're comforted by the assurance that it is and always has been wise to seek Jesus above everything else. So I do pray that all of us today would be overjoyed at the coming of Jesus, that our giving and receiving of gifts would be really holy and precious moments, and that each of us would strive to be wise today and in the days to come. Amen.